Lesson 4. We are children of God. 1. What does being adopted by God mean? A. The distinction between adoption, being born again, and justification. As we have previously studied, that being born again occurs when God implants a new life inside of you. Justification means that God changes his attitude towards you, and adoption occurs when you change your attitude towards God. Being born again has with the change in our nature. Justification has to do with the change of our position before God. Adoption has to do with the change in our relationship with Him and is achieved when we are admitted into God's family, and as a result, we are given all the privileges of being His child. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. B. Your position as a child of God. Note this, you're not the one who is able to turn yourself into a child of God. It is God who makes you His child. There is absolutely nothing you can do to deserve such a position. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. I am no longer a sinner, but a child of God. I am what God says I am. I used to be a sinner, but now I'm saved, and as a result, I become a new creation. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. This means that we belong to God's family. Think carefully about this statement, because it's not just a religious cliche. It's the Word of God. Real Christianity is giving your life to Jesus and belonging to God's family. As a result, God becomes your Father and not just your God. Once you begin to understand this truth and allow it to shed light into your heart, it will become easy for you to receive all of the blessings that God has for you. Chapter 2. How are we adopted by Him? K. By receiving Jesus. John chapter 1. Verses 12 and 13. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There are many people who are under the false impression that we are all children of God, but in truth, we are not. Only those who are born from God can become children of God. One can only be considered to be the child of a particular couple if he or she was born out of that couple's union. It's not enough to simply bear a physical resemblance to them. We are all God's creation. Why? Because God created us just as He created everything else in this world. But being a child of God is very different. Only those who are born of God, give their lives to Jesus and receive Him as their Savior, can be called children of God. When you give your life to Jesus, a number of things happen, and one of those things is that you become a new person, not externally, but internally. Another thing that happens is that you become a child of God. B. Our adoption is finalized in the second coming of Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as He is pure. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are adopted by God the Father, but the world will only recognize this in the second coming of Jesus. Only then will Christians be able to experience the true magnitude of their position as children of God. Chapter 3. How do we benefit from this adoption? Our position as children of God enables us to receive His blessings. The other day a lady was telling me that she had various diseases. As she was saying that she had this, that, and the other, I told her that Jesus wanted to heal her, to which she responded by saying, "Oh, I hope God hears you, but truthfully, I don't think I deserve to be healed." With such strong feelings of doubt, there was no point in her asking for prayer, so I decided to explain to her that God is our Father and that He gives us everything we need simply because He loves us. The same is true for us as parents. We give everything to our children simply because we love them. When you give your life to Jesus, you become the child of God Almighty, the ruler of heaven and earth. When you are able to understand this in your heart, you'll stop thinking small and you'll stop thinking that you need to suffer poverty, sickness, or any other kind of problem. My Father is God. Your Father is God. He created the world that we see before us, as well as all the other planets that we don't see. He owns all of it. And the Bible says that you are an heir of God, which means that all that belongs to God is yours. Our Father is God. Think about it. We're children of God. We're a new creation. 1. We are heirs of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. 2. We have been blessed with all of God's blessings. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Do you know what the biggest problem is for God? It's that even though He wants to help His children, to give them presents and to bless them, many of them don't understand this and as a result, end up not receiving His blessings. Imagine you bought a doll for your daughter, took it home with you, and gave it to her. Your daughter wouldn't say, "I wish someone would give me a doll. I would really like to have a doll." No, she would grab the doll immediately and say, "It's mine." Later on, when your daughter grows up, she'd do things like start wearing her mother's shoes without even asking for permission. All this is due to the belief that she has whatever belongs to her is hers alone, but what belongs to you, her parents, is also hers. This is the way we should think. But some Christians who know nothing about the Bible spend their lives begging God for things. They beg for a new job, a new house, etc. When at all time, God has already made these blessings available to them, and all they need to do is to receive them. Some people say, "Oh, I'm not worthy of receiving God's blessings." Well, I'm not worthy either, but since I'm no fool, I don't mind receiving them. The truth is that no one is worthy of anything that is God-given, but He's our Father, and He gives us things just because He loves us. Think about this verse in the Bible, as I'm sure it will change your life. Let me say this again. God has a big problem with many Christians, because He wants to bless them and they don't want to receive His blessings. Take a look at this dialogue as an example. "Oh, Pastor, this is too good to be true. It might be too good to be true, but it is true. Glory to God." Others say, "This is too simple. It's too easy." Of course it is. God isn't a complicated God, and He doesn't need a sealed document with an authenticated signature on it to be able to save someone. We belong to His family. Please pay close attention to what I'm now going to say. Anyone who belongs to Christ is made a new creation. The past is forgotten and everything is made new. Chapter 4. Evidence generated by this adoption. A. Spiritual growth. When someone gives their life to Jesus, they become spiritual babies. Our spiritual growth can be compared to our physical growth. For example, when a baby is born, it's always very little, then later on it'll grow to become a toddler, and so on, until it reaches adulthood. A person's spiritual growth occurs in exactly the same way. 1. Babies. When someone gives their life to Jesus, they become like a spiritual baby, thus behaving like one. When babies cry, their mothers immediately come and tend to their needs. They feed them, change their diapers, etc. The same occurs in the spiritual world. When a baby in Christ cries out to God, He'll take care of it. Later on, when we're older, we have to learn how to get the things we need by using our faith. When a baby's diaper is dirty, his mother doesn't just throw him away. The problem is that some Christians see a new convert dirtying his diaper and immediately think that he's lost his salvation. Change his diaper and he'll be just fine. 2. Children. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. What do you do with a 7, 8, or 9-year-old child? You send them to school in order for them to learn. The same thing happens in the spiritual world. A newborn believer goes to church with the same attitude as if he were going to school. He goes there to learn more about the Word of God. Thus, he is studying at the school of God. Consider this. Both heaven and earth will come to an end, and a new heaven and earth will be created. But the Word of God never changes. This means that we'll have to live and abide by God's rules forever, and so the faster you learn these rules, the sooner you'll be able to live the way God wants you to. God wants the brothers in the church to grow spiritually so that they are able to do the same things that Jesus did. That's the plan that He has for our lives. He gives prophets, pastors, doctors, and evangelists to the church for a reason, so that they can train and educate us, enabling our spiritual growth in such a way that we can become just like Jesus was. What was Jesus like? Jesus always walked in love, forgiving other people's trespasses, praying for the blind so that they could be able to see, praying for the deaf so that they could be able to hear, praying for the paralyzed so that they could be able to walk, praying for the dead so that they would resurrect. Praise God that these things are starting to happen more and more in our midst, and that each day we become more like Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. God desires all of us to grow spiritually until we reach the complete stature of Christ. This means that God wants us to one day do the same things that Jesus did here on earth. John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus said that if we believed him, we would do the same things that he did. Jesus healed the sick, cast out demons, resurrected the dead, spoke to the sea and to the wind, and they obeyed him. He spoke to a fig tree, and it withered. He fed a crowd of thousands with only a few loaves of bread and some fish, etc. 3. Adults. God's will is that we as his children grow up in such a way that we're able to attain the stature that Jesus had here on earth. He wants us to be capable of doing the same things that Jesus did. John chapter 20, verse 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Nobody can be expected to grow up all of a sudden and to do the same things that Jesus did from one day to another. Instead, it's a work in progress that develops as you spend time studying the Word of God and putting it into practice. So if you're not yet able to distinguish God's voice, or if you're not yet able to understand what He says to you, don't be discouraged. You have to do what all of us did and still study the Word of God, meditate on it, have fellowship with God, pray in tongues as well as in your own language, and praise God. The day will come when God will be as real in your life as your best friend is, and you'll be able to clearly understand what He says to you, as if indeed He were your best friend. We're God's children. We don't need to approach God with fear but with confidence, because He's our Father. We can always turn to Him in times of trouble. We don't need to pray mechanically. Instead, praying to God is like having a conversation with our Father. If we speak to Him, He'll answer. God is our Father, and we are His children. In John chapter 20, verse 21, we see that Jesus was speaking to His disciples, His followers. Here, Jesus taught them something extraordinary. He said that in the same way God the Father sent Him to speak about salvation, divine healing, and deliverance from bad spirits, and in the same way that He sent Him to bring joy, peace, and prosperity, He is now sending you. This is God's plan for each one of His children, and He wants you to know that He's your Father. He's not a distant God, but a wonderful Father. You belong to His family. God wants you to go to His house, which is the church. The church is a school, the school of God, where you can learn His word and learn to reign in this world and in the coming one. This school also teaches you about all the things that God has in store for your life. Make this confession that God is my Father. I am a child of God. I am a new being. I am an heir of God, together with Jesus. B. Being guided by the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. C. Having love for others. Walking in love is the most important characteristic a child of God should put into practice, and yet it often tends to be forgotten. But a Christian who is constantly led by the Holy Spirit, and whose motivations are subject to the will of God, will manifest a great faith and trust in God. A man of faith is a man of prayer, approaching God's throne in prayer on a regular basis. Something else to keep in mind about prayer is that it's impossible for one to pray for others with sincerity if one doesn't develop the love of God in one's heart for them. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome.